We have always been blessed as a church with talent.
Amen.
God's good. Amen. A way of announcement, we will not have a prayer meeting Wednesday morning, okay? Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for loving us, Lord. And again, thank you for this talent and the gifts that have been given this morning. Lord, you're so good. You're so good to us individually, Lord God, and corporately. We just praise you, Lord. Just praise you.
Yes, Father.
Lord, use the next few minutes to touch our hearts and spirits. And Lord, you've got a place where you want us to be, and just lead us to that place, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Lord, fill us with your love and your peace, and just let us rejoice this Christmas because our Savior was born. Because we have a Savior.
Yes.
We have hope. We have love. Joy and peace. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, use me as your vessel in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good to see all of you here today. The message I've done this morning is entitled, What is Christmas? What is Christmas? With a question mark. A number of years ago on America's Funniest Home Videos, a young boy was shown on Christmas morning. He came down the stairs to see a large present beside the tree and ran over to tear it open to see what was inside. Paper went flying everywhere. Suddenly, he broke into a dance and jumped in around the room shouting, Wow, it is just what I wanted. Wow, it's just what I needed. Wow. Then upon looking at the gift again, the boy said with a puzzled look on his face, What is it? Just think about that first Christmas. The angels announced the birth of a child. The heavens were opened, and all the company of angels broke into praise. Shepherds, they were startled at the sight. They went racing to Bethlehem to see what it was all about. And for 2,000 years, people have been jumping up and down saying, Wow, it's just what I wanted. And wow, it's exactly what I needed. But in the next breath, we take another glance inside the stable and ask, What is it? Why did God become man? What is Christmas all about? What's so special about Christmas? Well, for one thing, Christmas is the hinge of history. Even our calendars are dated from a reference point of Jesus Christ. God split history with the event of Christmas.
Hallelujah.
Everything is either A.D. or B.C. What is so special about Christmas? Well, I think Philippians chapter 2 answers it. We have here one of the greatest explanations in the Bible of who Jesus is and what he came to do. This is our bedrock, the foundation of everything that we believe. And if you would, turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verse 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Holler when you're there. You there?
Yes.
Some of you cheat. Yeah. All right. It says in verse 5, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Hallelujah. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I want to break these verses down into three thoughts this morning. Amen? This is not a typical Christmas scripture, but I want to look at it with Christmas in mind, okay? Okay, first of all is the reality of Christmas, which is represented by the cradle. And we're going to look at verse 5 to set through 7 to go along with this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men.
Yes.
Our attitude, our nature should be modeled after Christ Jesus, even though he was every bit God. Amen? And he was every bit God, he did not consider robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? The phrase, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, comes from the Greek word harpagmos, and it means to choose. Jesus had a choice. Jesus had a choice. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus had every right to hold on to and retain his divine nature.
Yes.
However, the Lord chose to release it and to become human for us. He became a servant for us. Hallelujah. Amen. The reality of Christmas is that God chose to become one of us. He chose to become one of us. When the Allies landed in Normandy on D-Day, that was big news. It was a clear victory and a sign that the war would be won. That is nothing compared to the news that God invaded Earth.
Amen.
Amen? When Nixon was president of the United States, he made a comment in one of his speeches in which he said that the greatest moment in human history was when man walked on the moon. Later, Billy Graham corrected President Nixon, saying, no, the greatest moment in history was not when man walked on the moon, but rather when God walked on the earth.
Amen.
Jesus was God in flesh, and he walked among us. Amen. Larry King was once asked the following question in an interview. If you could select any one person across all of history to interview, who would it be? Mr. King responded by saying he would like to interview Jesus Christ. Then the questionnaire followed with, and what would you like to ask him? King replied, I would like to ask him if he was indeed virgin born. The answer to that question would define history for me. The greatest news of all time is that God came in the flesh. Amen. Jesus was eternally and equally God. He was the infinite creator, laying aside his divinity to become a finite creature. There are a lot of people in the world today who have a hard time with that fact. Amen. They cannot understand how or even why God would become a man, so they reject him. Many others accept Jesus as a great man, even a great prophet. But there's only one problem with that. Jesus never claimed to be either a great man or a great prophet. Amen?
Yeah.
Over and over, the Bible repeats and Jesus proclaims that He is God. Amen?
Yes.
Over and over, the Bible repeats and Jesus proclaims that He is God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the New Living Translation, it says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness,
yes,
and the darkness can never extinguish it."
Amen.
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 Amen. On December 17th, 1903, Orville and Wilbur Wright made their first flight of an airplane at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. The flight lasted 59 seconds and it traveled 850 feet. Wilbur rushed to the local telegraph office and sent the following message home. "We have flown for 59 seconds. We will be home for Christmas." Upon receiving that telegram, their sister, Catherine, went to the newspaper office, told the editor of her brother's new flying machine, and informed him that they would be home for Christmas if he would like to set up an interview. He told her that was nice and he would be sure to put something in the paper regarding the boys. On December 19th, the local paper placed the following headline on the sixth page of the paper. "Wright Brothers Home for Christmas." The most important story of the year, man's first flight, and the editor missed it. The story of Christmas did not begin 2,000 plus years ago in Bethlehem, but in an eternity past when our Creator God decided He would give Himself to save His creation.
Thank you, Lord.
The manger will always remind us of God's choice to come and be a part of His creation.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Secondly, within these verses, we find the reason for Christmas. It is the cross. The reason for Christmas, it is the cross. Look at verse 8. "And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross." Jesus concluded His walk among humanity when He died a horrific death upon a cruel cross. And He did that for you and me.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen?
Yes.
Folks, Christmas has no real meaning without the cross. Not only did Jesus voluntarily lay down His life, His divine nature, He went to the cross and laid down His physical life for you and me. Remember, He didn't have to do that. He was God. At any moment during this trial and crucifixion, He could have called 10,000 angels to intervene and stop the process. Jesus was not coerced into going to the cross. No man made Him go to the cross. No one could have put Him there without His permission.
Amen.
Amen. So then why did He allow it? Jesus came to earth to show us God's love. Our Lord accomplished that when He died on Calvary's cross. The manger and the cross show us what God was willing to give so that we might belong to Him. The cross assures us of God's unfailing love.
Amen.
Amen. John chapter 3 and verse 16, we all know it. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Let me tell you about a little girl who discovered a special secret from her grandparents. Ever since she could remember, her grandparents had played this secret little game. They would put the word smiley around the house somewhere for the other to find. Grandfather would stuff little notes with the word smiley in grandmother's sock drawer. Grandmother would trace the word smiley in the steam on the bathroom mirror so grandfather would see it when he took his morning shower. Over the years, they competed to see who could find the most creative way to leave a smiley note for the other. And when grandmother lost her 10-year fight against cancer, her casket was wreathed with a huge bouquet of flowers, and on the yellow ribbon around the bouquet was the one word, smiley. The thing that held her grandparents' marriage together, and the one thing that nourished them through life and sustained them in death. Smiley. What does smiley to mean? S-H-M-I-L-Y. S-H-M-I-L-Y. See how much I love you. See how much I love you. The Word of God says in 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was manifested or shown toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him.
Thank you.
In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 it says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christmas and Easter both remind us of God's infinite love. Amen?
Yes.
Jesus chose to become a man. Jesus chose to die on Calvary. We acknowledge the reality of Christmas, and we're so grateful for the reason of Christmas. Finally, in these next verses, we recognize the result of Christmas, which is the crown. The crown, starting with verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What is the result of Christmas? One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess what God has known for the ages, the truth of all truth, that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
One day every person on earth will know the truth and they will respond to the truth.
Yes.
Of all the arrogance in this world that attempts to disregard the deity of Jesus Christ, and all of the denial and pseudo-scientific, psychological, and philosophical arguments that refute the Godhead will be overthrown, and every knee will bow.
Yes.
And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
On that day, every person will understand this truth. Every nationality, every age group, every male and female, every religion will exclaim, Jesus is Lord. All the politicians would join to proclaim, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
All the rock stars and the football players and everyone else in sports will announce that Jesus is Lord. All of the scientists, professors, businessmen, homemakers will agree that Jesus is Lord. Everyone. The issue is not will you admit that Jesus is Lord. One day everyone will. The issue is simply when. Will you enter, will you either admit it now in love and honor and respect, or will you admit it later when you realize that you've been deceived?
Yeah.
Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you.
For many, this realization will come too late. I believe that those of us who have gathered here today have already made that declaration. At some point in the past, you understood and received Jesus, asking him into your heart. You have already made the declaration that Jesus is Lord.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this, looking unto Jesus, or let us fix our eyes.
Yes, yes.
The author and finisher, or the perfecter of our faith, who for joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Thank you. Glory. Thank you.
The result of Christmas is Jesus' birth and his resurrection provided an opportunity for us to be adopted into the family of God. Amen? Amen. Because we have a personal relationship with him, we will one day live with him forever. Amen. Amen. One of the ancient kings of Persia named Shah Abbas loved to mingle with his people in disguise. Once dressed as a poor man, he descended the long flight of stairs, dark and damp, to the tiny cellar where the fireman, seated on ashes, was tending his furnace. The king sat down beside him and began to talk. At mealtime, the fireman produced some coarse black bread in a jug of water, and they ate and drank. The king went away, but returned again and again, for his heart was filled with sympathy for the lonely man. They became very good friends as time passed. At last, the king thought, I'll tell him who I am and see what gift he will ask. So he did, but the fireman didn't ask for a thing. The king was astonished and said, don't you realize I can give you anything? A city? A throne? The man gently replied, I understand, Your Majesty. You have already given the greatest gift a man could receive. You left your elegant surroundings to sit with me here in this dark, lonely place. You could give nothing more precious. You have given yourself, and that is far more than I could ever deserve. My only request would be that you never withdraw this gift of your friendship.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm. Thank you.
What a joy to know Jesus as our personal Savior, and what a gift we have received through his love and fellowship.
Yes.
The sad reality this Christmas is that there are so many people who do not realize how valuable they are to God, so much so that he considered them worth dying for. If the unbeliever could only experience the love of God and willingly declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, amen?
Amen.
Let us pray that before it's too late, these precious souls will realize that because of the cradle and the cross, there is now a way to have peace with Almighty God. More than a century ago, Argentina and Chile were almost at war over a border dispute between the two nations high in the Andes Mountains. War was a very real possibility in 1902. Christians around the world urged these nations to encourage their governments to settle the matter amicably and without the use of swords. The governments of Argentina and Chile listened and agreed to submit the matter to arbitration. When an agreement was reached, it was decided that a statue should be placed on the border to remind the people that they should work together for peace. The statue is a 26-foot high bronze Christ holding his right hand out to bless the two nations, and a cross in his left hand. The statue is called Christ the Redeemer of the Andes.
Hallelujah.
The bronze from which the statue was made came from old cannons. A plaque at the base of the statue reads in Spanish, "Sooner shall these mountain crags crumble to dust than Chile and Argentina shall go to war again with each other." Wow. The good news is for us, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus stands between us and the Father. He is the doorway to our peace with God. Amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! In 1962, as a year before I graduated from high school, missionaries named Don and Carol Richardson went to New Guinea to bring the good news of Christ to a group of people known as the Sawi. The Sawi. The Sawi were a headhunting, cannibalistic tribe that used the skulls of their victims as their pillows.
Wow.
Don wrote a book about his experience with these people, and he called it The Peace Child. Don Richardson began his work among the Sawi by reading through the Gospel of Matthew to them. But to his consternation, when he got to the part of Judas betraying Christ, everyone cheered. He did not realize that their culture was built around treachery. He did not realize that their culture was built around treachery. The one who was the most devious was the one who had the most respect in the tribe. The missionary searched for every possible means to explain the greatness of God's gift and pure love to a people whose values were based on deceit. Then one day he witnessed a solemn ceremony between two warring tribes. One of the chiefs walked over to the other and handed him a child. In fact, it was the chief's own son. Their custom had been that peace could come between two tribes only if the chief of one of the tribes would give his son over to the people of the other tribe. He was called the Peace Child. The chief would place his own son in the hands of people who hated him. It was the only way to bring peace between the tribes. Richardson saw the perfect bridge to help these people understand that what God had done. God had given his peace child into the hands of a hostile world.
Yes.
In order to bring the hostility between us to an end.
Yes.
The angel said at his birth, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." There is a reality of Christmas, the reason for and the result of Christmas. All three of these thoughts, folks, help paint a true picture of Christmas and reassure us of Father God's perfect plan for His creation.
Thank you, Lord.
May you ponder the reality, the reason, and the result of Christmas. And may you have a joyous celebration in honor of your Savior and King.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Let's stand together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you came. You came as a man, Lord, to suffer and die for our sacrifice. Thank you that one day we will all say Jesus is Lord, everyone. Thank you for loving us so much. So much. Lord Jesus, I would ask that you show us that love this holiday season. And let us give your love this holiday season. Every one of us needs that reassurance.
Yes.
Lord, use us as instruments of yours.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this special time of year.
Yes.
Lord, may we share with someone about the birth of our Savior. Lord, thank you that we won't leave here today like we came. And Lord, I thank you for all these that sang today and blessed us with their music. What a treat. Thank you for this church, Lord, and continue to work in us.
Yes.
And I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do some high fives, folks, and spin around and fist bump everybody.